Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I truly, truly appreciate it. And I hope that all is well in your world in this year of 2020 and all that that encompasses. We got a great show for you today, so let's just jump straight into it. My guest today, he's a serial entrepreneur, an angel investor, and a 13 times best-selling author. He has spent the past 30 years building businesses. He's had 4 exits, 2 to publicly traded companies. And his first company was called Digital Cafe. He started it back in 1990, and it was one of the first digital marketing agencies in the world. Today, he is the founder of the Superpower Accelerator, where he is known for being a media master who knows how to help his international clients get attention, create premium brands, and elevate their status. I had a blast during this conversation, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Now, let's hack. Mike Koenigs. We've all heard for years that it's important to have a diversified portfolio. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that kind of thing. But if you've ever looked at the breakdown of the most successful portfolios around, you'll typically see a diversified set of real estate as well. But why isn't it one of the first asset classes you consider when you're looking to diversify? Simple. It hasn't been available to investors like you and me until now, thanks to Fundrise. Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high-quality, high-potential real estate as easy as investing in your favorite stock or mutual fund. Whether you're looking to add stable cash flow via dividends or prepare long-term growth through appreciation, Fundrise has you covered. To date, Fundrise manages more than $1 billion in assets for 150,000 investors. And since 2014, the Fundrise platform has averaged 8.7 to 12.4% annual returns, and investors have earned more than $79 million in dividends alone. Fundrise's team of real estate professionals carefully vets and actively manages all their real estate projects. And with their easy-to-use website, you can track your portfolio's performance and watch as properties across the country are acquired, improved, and operated via asset updates. Start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/hack to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's fundrise.com/hack and have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. fundrise.com/hack. Taking care of employees has never been more important. For years, Gusto's been helping more than 100,000 small business owners run payroll, offer benefits, onboard new employees, and now you can even pay your contractors with Gusto. They call it the People Platform. And it doesn't just look nice, it works really, really well. Your payroll taxes are filed, deductions are calculated, and your team gets paid. Simply. You can even offer health insurance and 401ks. And you get unlimited payrolls for 1 monthly price, no hidden fees. 3 out of 4 customers say that they run payroll in 10 minutes or less. So here's the best part. Because you're a listener of Hack the Entrepreneur, you get 3 months totally free. All you have to do is go to gusto.com/hack. Again, that's gusto.com/hack. I'm telling you, you are going to love Gusto. Go and get started today. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very, very special guest. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure. This is an interview I've been looking forward to, so I'm kind of excited to just jump straight into it.
I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right, Mike. I know you are a man who wears sort of many different hats, but right now we're talking to Mike, the entrepreneur. So as an entrepreneur, Mike, can you tell me What is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I think it's my ability to reinvent. I've reinvented myself probably 7 or 8 times in the 30 years I've been an entrepreneur. And it goes back even longer than that. I mean, I've been working full time since I was 16 years old. And, you know, I started a number of companies. I learned new skills and I'd sell the business. And then something else caught my attention, or I was interested in the next big thing. And I built the skills, created a network, crafted products, and got it out in the marketplace and sold it. And then built that into a business until the business didn't need me anymore. And then I went away.
So reinvention is reinvention starting from scratch every time?
Yes. And the truth is, and probably another, if we're going to put a layer on top of this, I've always been fascinated with the idea of celebrity and influence and persuasion and entertainment and media and how to replicate that over and over again. So all of those things combined, we call a platform, which is what you're known as, who knows you, your reputation, your content, your IP. It's the collective you. So in a lot of ways, I'm never completely starting over from scratch, and nor is anyone else. I always say, what you bring with you are the transformations you've provided to other people or you've experienced yourself. And so the starting from scratch, my most recent exit and restart, which happened about 3 years ago, has been more of that, where I'd say I was starting very much from scratch because I just completely obliterated my last business.
In what capacity?
Well, here's what happened. The backstory is like this. So I've been doing info marketing in some way, shape, or form for a little over 20 years. I'll give you a little bit of a timeline just for context. I started coding when I was about 14 years old and always did side gigs and made money as a kid because I grew up poor in a little town in Minnesota. My dad was a barber. I was the oldest of 4 kids. And I didn't have, other than a great dad, I didn't have any mentors or anyone to model. I had to figure it out myself. I started working full-time at a gas station when I was 16. I was coding. I picked up little consulting gigs, and I started writing code professionally at 18. I never went to college. And one of the things I always wanted to do is write video games. So I met someone. I used to crack software and remove copy protection. And, you know, I spent a lot of time on pirate bulletin boards, that kind of thing. So I always loved and was interested in phone hacking and phone phreaking and blue boxing and anything that would, you know, where you could understand how a system worked. So if you fast forward a little bit, I wrote code professionally and then started one of the very first digital marketing agencies called Digital Cafe. That was from about 89 to 99, sold that, and then got interested in Dan Kennedy. Studied his stuff, figured out how to do online marketing and info product creation and how to hack search engines. Well, that developed into what became Traffic Geyser. And then I did the same thing with mobile text marketing. Before there was any automation, we created a product that became Instant Customer. Along the way, had cancer, but ended up selling those companies in 2015. And then started my next company, which was You Everywhere Now, where it was all about building platforms. We taught people how to write books, self-publish, media trained them, taught the process of product creation, and really the whole online thing. But about 3 years ago, I woke up and I was 100% done with that business model. I didn't want to do social media. I didn't want to do funnels. I didn't want to do launches. Didn't want to do affiliate marketing. Just all of it just was like a big yuck and an absolute no. And so I wound down the company and kind of purposely nuked it. And then I ended up selling all the products. And along the way, I had a short non-compete agreement as well that forced me to stay out of it. Okay, so I wouldn't go back to what was easy. And I started doing advisory services where I just work with higher net worth business leaders, business owners, and help them build brands and elevate themselves and craft huge offers and build marketing and sales systems. It's really intimate work. And effectively, what I do is I help people and their businesses reinvent. And during, you know, the pandemic, for example, it's been great for business because a lot of people need to do that right now. So that hopefully gives you a little bit of a framework and establishes kind of the baseline and answers most of the question, but go ahead and go deeper.
So here's a question. So Digital Cafe was the first sort of digital marketing agency because, I mean, the internet barely existed in 89, even into 99. Well, in 99 it did, but you went from that, say, and then you decided to go into this next market. And Dan Kennedy, you mentioned, who's like world-renowned copywriter. And he had, like, he was never even fully online, but then you create Traffic Geyser, which is how I know you from in 2005. And then that all sort of wraps up, you say. And then you start working with some of the biggest names in the world as an advisor. So there's this thread through all of these that you seem to have this either uncanny ability or some sort of trick where you kind of move into a market, Mike, and you can just work with the best of the best.
Yeah, that's, I think, well, there's two, I'll give you two examples and then I'm going to answer the question. And I think I'll answer what you're really asking is how do you do that?
Right.
Is that right?
Well, I was going to see if you were going to correct me first and be like, no, I don't do that. But no, let's do this.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a real life example, which if you go back around 96, I was recently divorced. Digital Cafe at the time was not doing well financially. And even though we were working with huge brands like Sony and BMW and 20th Century Fox and a variety of celebrities, these big companies don't pay their bills quickly. And agencies burn a lot of cash and you go through a lot of talent. There's always a talent cycle going on. You got to be growing or you're screwed. And it got to the point where we were financing, my partner and I, the business on credit card checks. And I was $250,000 in debt, working 18, 20 hour days, 7 days a week. I mean, it was really rough. And a good friend of mine went through a huge transformation, went to a Tony Robbins event, came back completely changed. And I said, I'm going to study that guy's stuff when I see his next infomercial. Well, it turned out that night, here I am, a broke guy, open up my mailbox. There's an $8,500 brand new credit card inside. I go upstairs. Somehow I still had cable, turned it on. And at this time, I'm living on a gas card, a Super America gas card. That's how I'm buying my groceries to eat. And I turn on the TV and guess who's on TV? It's Tony Robbins. So I order Personal Power, have it rush delivered, listen to the first 15 minutes and I'm in. So I made a call, had it delivered, listened to the stuff, racked up and used my entire credit card for travel and to go to Life Mastery with Tony. And first of all, I was terrified and appalled when I walk in. There's a bunch of people jumping up and down and hugging. And I think I'm going to get saved by Tony, right? I'm like, what the hell did I just do to myself? And I stuck around and decided to start jumping up and down and hugging people and giving back massages and all that other weird stuff, you know, after 3 days. And I walked out of there a week later with a life plan that I executed. And 6 months later, everything turned around. So while I was there, the whole point of telling you that is I'm looking at Tony thinking, this guy should be the president of the planet. He's so talented and so amazing. And I made a vow to myself that someday I'd work with that guy. Someday I'd work with other celebrities too. And so if you fast forward a couple of years later, I was on a trip with Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, two people I really looked up to, on a trip to Egypt. A year later, I met my wife, or soon-to-be wife, in Greece, who it turns out used to work for Deepak Chopra, worked with celebrities, had written a couple books. And from there, I just started meeting people. And so if you fast forward a couple of years after selling the business, moving to San Diego, first time person I called was the guy who answered the phone, who worked for Tony. And I didn't know this at the time, but his wife, Pam Hendrickson, had created all of Tony's products. So after I had launched Traffic Geyser and we were doing well, Tony was going through a rough time. His marketing wasn't working. And Pam said, hey, would you meet with Tony and give him some pointers on how to market Robin's research better? And I'm like, of course. So I met him. And at that point, I was good friends with Frank Kern and Eben Pegg and Jeff Walker, some of the original online marketers. And I arranged a meeting with all of us, and that evolved into us helping him develop the Money Masters product series. And then we also helped launch Business Mastery and some of his other products. Well, when people found out I knew Tony and worked with him, suddenly a lot of people came out of the woodwork. You know, Brian Tracy and Paula Abdul. And it seemed like a list of additional celebrities, or like, if you worked with Tony, help me, help me, help me. And of course, the more you work with celebrity, the more you attract, and the more mystery that's associated with it, the better it is as well. And so if you fast forward years later, I do have a tendency to study people, learn their voice, really understand what they need, and then become friends with them, solve their marketing problems, and then collaborate. So like right now, I do two podcasts, one with Gay Hendricks, who's a living legend himself. He wrote The Big Leap, and we started a podcast called The Big Leap. And Dan Kennedy is another one of my friends who, he's like a best friend, brother, father, grandfather, mentor, all rolled in one, who started Strategic Coach. He and I have a podcast together called Capability Amplifier. So I think the key and the secret to all this is find someone you're really deeply attracted to their voice, learn everything you can about them, become their best student and an example of success, and then examine and figure out where they need help and approach them and say, I can help you on multiple levels. And that's how I met the actor Richard Dreyfuss on a plane. Same kind of way, as I just learn them about them, learn their voice, and find out what their deepest desire, goal, and passion is, and help them get there.
So when you said that you partner with people, like you mentioned Dan Sullivan and Gay Hendricks, who you have a podcast with now, but then like with Tony Robbins, you sort of partnered with him on the Money Mastery program. And what's your thinking? Like, what's the thought process behind creating or starting these relationships or taking them to that level with a partnership rather than just as like a consultant straight up?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I value my time and my independence and my own brand. So if you're getting paid, you're an employee, and then it shifts the relationship dramatically. So I look at everything as a collaboration. I say, how can 1 + 1 = 11? Where is there a 10x or 100x opportunity and something that deeply benefits your wildest dreams? And for me, I'm very experience driven and oriented. I like knowledge. I love influence, persuasion, media, collaborative creation. That's what I'm really motivated by. And I'm not, you know, I love money, and my fear-based side, of course, likes to accumulate it, but it's not my primary driver, and nor is power. I'm not interested in power because I think it causes you to do dumb, bad things and then do dumb, bad things to people. And it's also an all-consuming vicious dragon. So having said that, having a collaboration, I'll be like, let's create something that has value and elevates you, your voice, your brand. And by collaborating, it opens up gateways and doors. So, and I also have found that when you collaborate with high value people, the opportunities that come along with that, especially if it's visible, far outweigh any money you'd ever receive. And so, and that's always come true in my case. It's like I invent bigger, better things. I start seeing possibilities that didn't exist before. You get greeted in and welcome into environments past a velvet rope that you can't buy access to. And that's really the way I look at it.
So looking back from right here at your career, I mean, it from the outside and not knowing it, obviously, but it does look like it sort of like jumps from this and goes to this. I mean, I know there's like years in those happening, but I like this idea, like, and it does play to reinvention with you, but I'd like to know, like what is it that, is it just boredom that tells you you're done with this and now it's time to move on to that? Or is there like something you see in the market that makes you like, I need to act. I want to be part of this. And because I can imagine you're somebody, just because of all the things you've done, that like you have a ton of ideas and you have an inbox full of people offering you ideas of businesses to start. Yet you still selectively choose them. And it's not just a linear trajectory.
Yeah. If you look at my background and said, what's the common thread? So I'm going to directly answer your question. But the real answer is everything I've ever done is somehow connected and crosses between education, entertainment, broadcasting, amplifying celebrity, and it's creative and on the cutting edge of the latest medium. So if you go back to the earliest days before anyone ever heard of me, I was doing music and MIDI and computer graphics, animation, and digital audio recording when the very, very first hardware was available. And I won't nerd out too badly, but for people who, I mean, I was doing Super 16 film, Super 8, which I hated. I hated film with a passion, and video was first available. And I loved it because it was accessible. And then we had the very first nonlinear video editing system. It was based on the same technology that the Edit Droid used, which was from Lucas. And then from there, we were doing the very first CD-ROMs and compact disc interactive and video disc and laser disc technology. So it was random access, high resolution video. Then we did a feature film. We did the very first independent high definition feature film ever made. It was called Bill's Gunshot, and we got distributed by Warner Brothers. That was right after we sold Digital Cafe. And Digital Cafe, we did the first branded video games, interactive entertainment. So for example, we developed a video game using the Doom engine that shipped in 6 million boxes of breakfast cereal for General Mills. Fast forward, first social media marketing automation software, pretty much, which was Traffic Geyser, and then Instant Customer, first mobile text marketing platform. And then you fast forward, when we did You Everywhere Now, that was, as far as I know, one of, if not the first company where we really figured out how to hack Amazon and their book publishing platform. So again, it's how do you get your message out in a different medium? In this case, it was digital book publication and promotion. And then now I'm a lot more interested in storytelling, which weaves all this back together, and really deep persuasion motivation. So sales systems, for example. I'm still interested in all the other stuff, but I've kind of evolved past it. I'm a lot more interested in the deep relationship with people and understanding their brains and storytelling. But throughout this, there's a storytelling structure. But to directly answer your question, here's what typically happens. I see an opportunity, create an offer, create a product, prototype it, sell it, build a multi-million dollar company, and it starts to grow to the point where it needs rules, bureaucracy, employees, people, and then it gets to the point where I hate every part of it. I'm not doing what I'm great at, which is innovating, creating, and directly selling. And now it needs bean counters and operations and systems and bureaucracy. And I suck at all that. And I look at it and I'm like, okay, if I'm going to build this to the next level, I'm going to have to hire a professional management team, raise money, be a some sort of a head for a period of time. It's usually 3 to 5 years. And by then I'm already done and over it. I did what I wanted to do. So I'm, you know, I find a buyer and I get the hell out of there.
Very well said. Very well said. So through that, as you explained and put sort of highlighted the thread through all of that, there was two things that came out to me, which was creativity and innovation. You've built like a brilliant career on it for the past 30 plus years at this point, Mike. Right now, it's 2020. It's October. I'm Canadian, but you guys are heading into an election. We're inundated on social media. There's a pandemic going on that's like taking over the world. How can you like maybe guide somebody who's listening to, throughout all of this, still bring creativity and innovation to themselves and to their businesses?
Well, here's what I first believe. So again, everything is about perspective and framing. And I believe right now we're on the brink of the largest wealth transfer in human history is happening and about to happen. Oh, by and large, the world is operated, run, and controlled by insane sociopathic leaders, whether it's the United States, Europe, Russia, little countries in general, completely run by crazy people. Brazil, look at it. They're just insane. Mm-hmm. Charismatic, creative, but sociopaths. And that tells me that we're at a breaking point for operational systems. Old institutions we used to hold dear. Colleges are going to be decimated. Probably a half of them are going to disappear. The digitization and virtualization of business is going to decimate a lot of commercial real estate. And someone and the people who own that stuff are like screwed right now. And other people are going to be able to buy a lot of resources and assets at a discount, repurpose them, and fortunes will be made. Trillionaires will arise from the shift. And the question to ask yourself is, which side are you going to be on? Are you going to be on the side of innovation, creation, co-creation, collaboration? Or are you going to sit around and cry over the fact that your pet dinosaur died? You know, it's time for some stuff to die. It doesn't work anymore. Fundamentalist religions are a good example of them. I consider fundamentalist religions to be low-level operating systems designed to prevent monkeys from eating their own poop. I'm not going to cry when they disappear. They're uncivilized. Religions that request people to cut the genitals off of baby girls have no place on this planet. They should be dead. And I look at a lot of institutions the same way. And so here's the way I look at it right now is this is a time we're entering a winter. The pandemic is just like a tsunami of a natural occurring event that happens every once in a while. There are waves that ebb and flow. There are currents. You know, the earth is changing. It's a living organism. It's not a rock. And we are part of nature. This is natural, what's going on right now. So I think what we know to be true is artificial intelligence and machine learning is going to continue to grow. The appification, the virtualization, digitization, and dematerialization of business and life is going to continue to occur. I think educational institutions have less and less value. The paper associated with them have less and less value. You'll see Amazon and Google are going to certify and create educational programs, the equivalent of college degrees. And integrating technology and AI and machine learning are a big thing. But I believe that when I tell people, like, what should you focus on right now? Learn how to sell, learn how to innovate and create, and try out ideas and do it in short little cycles and become a triple threat. Meaning, if you can, entertainment world, a triple threat is someone who can write and act, produce, and market their own stuff. If you're a one-shot, single-purpose pony, you're dead. You have very little value. So specialization in very narrow areas has very limited value. And so being able to rapidly create content and information and communicate has tremendous value. That's not going to go away, and it's not going to be replaced by machines anytime soon. So, you know, I look and say, what has longevity?
So there's a lot of really, really, really smart people out there. There's a lot of really smart people listening. And maybe they have a really great experience in business, maybe even offline or not at all, but they want to come online and start. They want to invest in themselves, like you said. They want to learn to sell. They want to learn to innovate. Like, where does somebody start? Do they literally just start buying books? You've said university and college is, it's no longer a thing, which I agree. But where do we start? Do we start with podcasts? Do we start a podcast or a YouTube channel? Do we start just reading books?
I think the first thing is everyone has to put in their time doing the hard work and building credibility. And what I mean by that is, so I'll give you a framework that I use for everyone I work with and the way I examine life and value, which is everything is a hero's journey in some way, shape, or form. If you're a product creator, a business owner, what you want to do is create a movie starring your perfect customer as a hero, and they have a problem, and they have a goal, an outcome, a result, a benefit, a destination they want to get to. And you, your product or service, is the guide that's there to help them achieve that end goal. And if you have a conversation with someone, a sales conversation, a marketing conversation, your goal is to tell a short story that grabs that person's attention and says, I understand you. I know who you are. I know how you feel. I know what you love. I know what you hate. I know what you believe. I know what you do not believe. And I know what you want. And I have a solution for you. And here it is. And there's people just like you who've gotten exactly what you want. Here's an example. Here's an example. Here's an example. And I'd like to help you too. So that's a perfect story. And it's starring your who, the who you want to be a hero to. And you give them the feeling and the sense that they get to experience their dream come true with you as a partner. And so the reason I tell you that story is in order to have the right to tell great stories or have a podcast, either you're going to have to be and have several transformations that you've provided for other people, or you can be a reporter and be an expert. And you got to be a great storyteller. You need to put in the time to understand what a great story is. And that's a practice of listening and being mentored. And no one deserves a platform or a voice. It's to be earned. I believe that is a huge challenge we have in our social media whore world we live in that was completely amplified by the Kardashians. I happen to believe they're low-frequency demons sent from hell, and they have nothing of value to share. But I'm in the minority, okay? But it's sort of like, I think they ruined video online, vertical video. It's like, what the hell with that, you know? And a totally self-absorbed generation of people, the Instagram nation, came from that. But my opinion matters not. It doesn't, who cares what I have to say? You know, it's like, I'm not a billionaire kid, but I wouldn't want their lives either. And I think the shallowness and the fraudulent behavior and the desire, the willingness to do anything for a like is ultimately destructive to humanity and our children. I've got an 18-year-old. I've watched it. It's not positive or good. So getting back to answering your question, really it's how can you be a reporter of transformation? And every single product or service, business in general, should never be about a transaction. It should be about a transformation. And I believe if you can become a transformative thinker, a transformer, then you deserve a platform and people will follow you and go deep and narrow and meaningful and authentic and real.
Transformation rather than transaction. Would you say, Mike, that this carries over whether you want to sell, like create and sell a $100 info product, or if you want to consult with $25,000 a month clients?
Yeah. So I left the info marketing business because I just found it soulless. I hated marketing on social media. I found it very not fun, too competitive, too fraudulent. And I don't trust any of those companies, you know, Facebook, Instagram, et cetera, Google as well. And what I found is if you follow the path, either you've got to take a lot of risks or sell things I'm not interested in. You know, I just couldn't sell lipstick and be happy about it. And to make money, it has to escalate. Do the traditional escalation model, sell a low-end product, then go up and up and up and up and up. And finally, you know, you'll say, well, I got a bunch of loss leaders, and then I make money up here. It's like, why not do something that lights up your soul? Like my offers start at $50,000 and go up to $1 million. And I charge a lot for my brain when I rent it out. And I have a really small team. I love the simplicity and elegance. You know, now I'm about lifestyle, but I'm older. You know, I'm not willing to put up with the stuff I was willing to put up with 10 and 20 years ago. So that's really the lens I look through. And now when I spend a lot more time with older folks, you know, people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, that's one thing they all have in common is they really appreciate simplicity, elegance, deep, meaningful connections. And they don't mind having fewer friends. They don't have to have a lot. They'd rather have meaningful. So I'd rather look at life through the rocking chair perspective, both from a personal perspective and from a business perspective. So I don't know if I answered your question or not. You could re-ask it, but that's really the psychology behind this.
You answered it, and you also answered my what was going to be my follow-up question. But and whether this is conscious or not, Mike, but, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I like that you, at this stage at least, you're not all about looking forward and just growth and growth and growth for growth's sake. You're more valuing your time and your freedom than you are valuing, although you said you value celebrity and you always have, but you don't just want more and more celebrity. You want more and more freedom.
Yeah. And when we say celebrity, I don't need it for me. I've tasted enough of it and I've got plenty of friends who are celebrities. And you got to remember that there's a big price to pay. And when you've got a certain level of celebrity, like someone, for example, I'm very fascinated with right now, I really appreciate him. And I'm one layer away from him as Joe Rogan, amazing guy. He has no freedom. And now that he's had a big payday, the Jekylls and the wolves are outside just waiting to take a bite. And going back to the question of the more and more, so I'm much more motivated. In the past, here was my mindset. I'd find a niche. I'd create a product that's totally unique. I'd own and dominate it and then build something that would have value and try to find the fastest way to a $100 million exit. That would be what the kind of thinking I had. And then after living that lifestyle and Traffic Guys or Instant Customer, they reached a point where they were worth a good chunk of money and a variety of things happened. One of them was cancer. One of them was we just experienced some dips in the market, and also a cycle of talent. But either way, I didn't have my $100 million exit. And it would have required a different mindset, different level of behaviors. And quite frankly, I wasn't mature mentally enough to build and grow that thing. But as I move forward, instead of having to build and own and control this one thing, I realized that I appreciate leverage. So now when I work with someone and I collaborate, I can do what I'm really good at with very little of what I'm not good at. And I've got a team to support my frailties and create value and do collaborative partnerships that can also involve either profit share or equity. And I would rather have a buffet of beautiful people I get to work with who I love, genuinely love them, their business, their customers and clients, and maybe work with 5 or 10 and have a small equity ownership and benefit from the big exit when it happens. But I'm interested in the ecosystem that it creates of loving people who are connected, who share the same values, instead of living in a silo that I control and I own. But it's a lonely place. Being an entrepreneur can be very lonely. And I just love co-creation. And that's really the big driver.
Beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. I love it. So Mike, throughout all this, we've talked about, we've alluded to and danced around what it is you do now, 30 years into it, but you have something called Superpower Accelerator. Before we wrap up here, could you just give sort of the elevator pitch, who it's for and what it can do for them?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So the big idea is I work with, or I should say we, the team and I, we work with business owners and entrepreneurs who have reached a place where typically they may have been working for a period of time and they've realized they may have outgrown their business and they've got to elevate themselves. Very similar to where I was. I didn't really tell my dark night of the soul story, but you know, I reached a point where I just couldn't do what I was doing anymore. But I had a base, I had a platform, I had an audience, I had customers. Something wasn't right. So we either reinvent their current offerings, or we create new offerings, or we help people who may have had an exit and they want to reinvent themselves again. But we do something we call Vision Day. That's how we start out, where we get together and identify a market or refine the market you have, create an offer that's 3 to 10 times higher than anything you've ever had before. And then craft the story, the transformational story that you need to grab and hook that audience, make them want you and say yes in the shortest period of time. And then we craft media and content to get the word out. So I write for Entrepreneur and Forbes magazine. I usually do an interview with that entrepreneur and get them published. I'll media train them. So the bottom line is in 24 to 72 hours, we can completely reinvent a person and their business and craft the messaging and the stories and the marketing to make that happen. So in 2 to 3 days, they are making offers and making money based on the new them, a future-paced new them. And then for some people, we work with them for a year or longer. So we'll write their books, build their platforms, get their word out, advise them, keep them focused and targeted in the right mindset in a way that's lifestyle compatible. So your wife or your significant other loves you and knows you, your children know you, you're healthy. And I've got a massive vendor database of people who know how to execute and make stuff happen when our skill set reaches its upper limits. And so it's a very unique advisory program that also includes a beautiful ecosystem of like-minded entrepreneurs who just want to connect and do something great.
And where can people go to learn more?
Well, they can hit my website at my name, mikekoenigs.com, or the shortcut is paidforlife.com. And there's videos on there. There's some freebies and gifts and links to our podcasts and all that, just to get immersed in the content. And then there's a place you just fill out a little survey, say, here's who I am. Here's my dream come true. Tell you a little bit about who you are. And then either myself or someone on the team follows up with you and arranges a conversation and make sure it's a right fit for everyone.
Excellent. Excellent. MikeKoenigs.com is the main site. Paidforlife.com if you want to go straight to the Superpower Accelerator. We talked about, well, Mike mostly did, a bunch of other people and things throughout this conversation. So I'll add links to the show notes on Hack the Entrepreneur for you, so they're easy to find for you later on. I don't know, man. This has been a lot of fun. I was looking forward to this, and you've more than exceeded my expectations, Mike. So I just want to thank you for everything that you do, for joining me today, and for sharing so openly. And just keep doing what you're doing, because it truly is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Well, thanks, John. You're a really good interviewer. It's clear that you've been doing this for a long time. You ask very meaningful, thought-provoking, intelligent questions. And it's fun to play verbal ping pong with you.
I appreciate that.
You got it.
Yes, yes, yes. That was fun, right? I said it would be, and it was. So Mike is, I mean, if you've been in the digital marketing, internet marketing space for any amount of time, I remember 8 or 10 years ago seeing Mike pop up when he was, he had come out with his first software, which was, or one of his software products, which is Traffic Geyser. And it was cool to see. And then when all of a sudden it dropped in my inbox that he wanted to be on the show, I was quite excited. So he's somebody I've known about and been aware of for almost a decade at this point, which is kind of an eternity in internet time, but it was fun. So it was great to sort of dig into that aspect of it, but then also where he's going. And as you got his thoughts on sort of the state of the world as it stands today, which was also a lot of fun. All right. Well, hacktheentrepreneur.com/podcast. If you wish, you will find the show notes for Mike. There's a bunch of stuff we talked about today, and we'll link to it over there for you. So it's easy to find. You can get onto the email list while you're there if you would like. And yeah, I don't know. There's lots over there for you. But I just wish you well. I hope things are going well for you. I hope that things aren't too stressful, and that maybe things are even just gentle and easy and nice, because, you know, it's a bit wacky out there today. All right. It's been fun. I thank you for stopping by, truly. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.